Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Sans Pants Radio, Australia's only five-thumbed podcast network.
Hey everybody, and welcome to this week's episode of Thumb Cramps, the video game podcast for all of those whose thumbs are cramping. I'm Joel.
I'm Jackson.
I'm Adam.
And oh my god, it's Adam. And Joel Zammert, unwell this week. Yeah. Last week, busy. This week, unwell.
Will he be here next week?
It's hard to say. Yeah. And just before we talk about which games we're playing, I'd just like to announce that this could potentially be a lost episode. Because the computer we're recording on says it's recording, but nothing's coming up. It's all happening. If you're hearing this, it is a miracle. And today we're going to be looking at
The Outer Worlds
and other games.
Did I not jump in soon enough, or was Dusha supposed
Dusha
to...
Dusha panicked.
I wasn't sure...
At no point did we establish who was taking points, so... Now you have, so please, tell us about this video game.
Yeah, so Adam, just a little quick... You and the audience, just a little quick peek behind the curtain, just like, whoop. What's behind there?
Hello.
Usually before we hit record, we're like, hey, who's going first? Yeah. You, okay. We didn't do that this time.
Yeah.
I was too busy by the fact that our sound waves for this recording program are invisible.
Move the mouse. They'll turn up.
I moved the mouse.
Click.
Nothing.
They'll turn up.
Scroll in and out. Try that. Or like,
yeah, there you go.
Away.
Oh my god,
did
it's
work?
Fixed. Yeah.
Yay.
This episode isn't lost after all. Thank you for listening.
Can I say a little further behind this behind the screen?
See what the magician's doing.
Yeah. I know the problem you were talking about, and I knew that was the solution, but I didn't want to. I felt like if I just immediately was like, oh, you just got to do this, you would have been like, Adam, I know how to do this. I just didn't want to assume you were, you know.
A fool.
Not a fool, but in any way.
A big moron.
No.
A peek behind the curtain, that's a three thumbs and a knock, I reckon. Adam being a rude guest who's telling the host how to run this ship.
I literally was just explaining how I didn't want to do that.
Four thumbs.
It's getting better.
I got four thumbs. Yeah. That's out of five, right?
Yep.
Yeah. I checked before that. And further behind the curtain.
Oh, we're back.
I checked how many thumbs this would be out of before we began recording.
Yeah, you're not one of the OG thumb boys, so you have to double check. And that was the discussion that we had instead of, hey, how should we start this episode? Anyway, what game you been playing again?
I've been playing The Outer Worlds. Yeah. Not to be confused with The Outer Wilds, a very similarly named game that is also released recently.
Yes.
That I do want to play, but have not yet played. Anyway, The Outer Worlds is the one made by Obsidian. It has often been described as, in the lead up to it, a lot of people describe it as Fallout New Vegas in space, which it is not.
Oh!
Fallout New Space.
Great joke.
Thank you.
Very different in a bunch of different ways. Let me start. The first thing you see is like some scientist running around. Half-Life.
It's more like Half-Life.
Yeah, it absolutely. It's Half-Life 3 sneaky.
They did it.
We can confirm here on Thumbcraft.
It's Half-Life 3.
You got it. Valve sold the rights and they were like, one condition.
So your character is like some
Gordon Freeman.
Yeah. Is Gordon Freeman, some random space colonist who has
He's an engineer, but that's okay.
Yeah. Gordon Freeman wasn't engineered.
No,
he's an engineer.
Oh, he's an engineer. I thought you were
why is your mouth so far away from the microphone, Adam? Fix that. That's better.
There you go.
Another peek behind the scenes. This is pretty much...
Peek-a-boo behind the scenes.
This is a main feed episode, but really it's a behind the scenes. This is Thumb Cramps behind the scenes.
Exactly, behind the music.
Thumb Cramps behind BTS. We'll get a lot more hits that way.
Oh yeah, BTS. Our SEO is going to be through the roof. Yeah.
This one episode will be like a million downloads.
Finally going viral, baby.
That's what we've always wanted to do with our podcast.
Finally go viral, then we can pack it in.
Imagine just quickly watching a 1 hour, 1 hour audio only video.
Whoa!
Share it with your listeners. If you can just do a quick favor and share this with your friends, we're going viral, baby.
Yeah,
SEOs,
BuzzFeed,
BTS,
BuzzFeed top 10 viral videos. It's like 9 videos of cats or something like that, and 1 hour long podcast.
Keep saying hour, but Thumbgram's usually 45 minutes. Easily digestible.
Oh, today's probably going to be after this. Look, so...
yeah, tell us more.
The game begins with, like, a scientist revives
you. What's it called
again? The Outer Worlds.
Okay.
I've got it written on the piece of paper in front of me. A scientist...
Was that another look behind the scenes?
It was another peekaboo.
At this point, the curtain might as well just be permanently open.
Absolutely.
Was there ever a curtain?
Yeah.
So... At first I was a little afraid because I knew that there was going to be, the game was going to be like wacky and a little zany and stuff like that. And I wasn't necessarily against that, but knowing that going in and then seeing a scientist who's clearly a little bit alcoholic. And then when something goes wrong with a console or something like that, he starts slamming it and yada, yada, yada.
Yeah.
I'm a little like, is this going to be Rick?
Is this a Rick and Morty reference like what Borderlands 3 did?
Oh, did Borderlands 3 do that?
Yeah, it sucks, dude.
Borderlands, come on. But yeah, thankfully, that kind of doesn't eventuate. When the character starts talking, he immediately is not meant to be a Rick-esque character.
Kind of good.
Would you say he's a Morty? Or is he a Jerry?
I wouldn't say
Or is he the sister? Summer?
Yes.
What's her name? Summer?
Yeah, it's Summer. And then their mom's name is?
Uh-huh.
Exactly.
Winter.
Wait. Oh, no, wait. No, you tricked me. you seemed confident. Winter is not a character's name.
He gotcha. He gotcha.
Rick and Morty, everyone's like, it's a clever show. And then the mother's name was Winter and the daughter's name was Summer. And everyone's like, clever show on television.
So brilliant.
Nearly tricked me. Did trick me for a little bit. But yeah, that, thankfully, that was like my first...
first experience
where I was a little bit tentative. So going into the game, I was a little bit worried that the comedy, I didn't realize it until after like a couple minutes in the game.
Yeah.
But I realized I was kind of afraid of the comedy.
No, I get that. Absolutely.
But it's kind of fine. There's a lot, the game tries to be really funny, but it isn't really funny.
Yeah.
But it doesn't detract from anything like that. So like for an example, it's supposed to be a future where corporations rule everything.
Yeah.
So a real
Demolition Man situation.
Yeah.
So the first settlement you come to is like owned by this one, Spacer's Choice, it's called, or whatever. And everyone is obligated to say like a company motto to you
when you
meet them. Spacer's Choice, it's not the first choice, but it's your choice or something like that.
Yeah.
And at first, you might be afraid it's going to be annoying, but it kind of just falls into the background, so that's fine, I guess. The comedy, basically, the game tries to be really funny. It isn't, but you won't be annoyed by it.
Yeah, no, that's...
Or at least I wasn't.
I can kind of get the sense of that. No game is really funny. I mean, like, I've never played a game and been like, that was hilarious. You know what I mean?
Nah, but have you ever played the Stanley Paradox or Parable? Stanley Parable?
Yeah,
Can't stop laughing.
Laugh,
Portal Ryan. 2, that British fella, he's like, oi!
The cake's a lie.
Damn.
So... Like I said, it isn't Fallout New Vegas in space. It actually plays, the combat plays way more like Fallout 4 than Fallout New Vegas. Like, it's heaps like Fallout 4. I was getting massive vibes.
That's a bad thing? Or is it
it's just not a bad
a,
or
it's
good.
Just it's a thing.
It's just kind of interesting, I guess, that Obsidian have no contact anymore with Bethesda. So that they kind of have now, like, that Outer Worlds is like, plays like Fallout 4 is just kind of, interesting, I guess.
Is that just kind of like indicative of video game?
Maybe.
At the moment? What's the difference between like, how does that play compared to Fallout New Vegas? Like what?
Fallout 4
and difference?
Fallout New Vegas are massive.
No, I know, but like combat wise, what's the...
So you've got a Vats-like ability. It works, actually, once again, it's like Fallout 4 more than anything else. The Vats ability basically works like Vats in Fallout 4, where it kind of time slows rather than stops.
Oh, okay.
You can do targeted damage to like a limb or anything like that. Although, once again, like in a Fallout game, why you would ever not target the head is mystery to me.
Yeah.
It's because you do extra... It's got a classic problem that a lot of really quick-paced, like, looter shooters or just shooting games have, where it's like, ooh, you could tactically do this. You could pinpoint the enemy's legs and make them slower, or you could shoot their arm out or something like that. But if I kill the enemy, they stop shooting me.
So, like, why would I ever do anything else?
Why would I ever do anything that is not optimal to killing my enemy?
Because the goal is always to kill, right?
Yeah.
Well, one's like,
you're not like, if I maim this guy's legs, maybe he'll be kind to me. You're like, well...
I could understand if I shot someone's arm out, they might, and they dropped their weapon, they might be like, I give up, or something like that. But that's not happening. It's very similar to Fallout games in that regard.
Really, that what you would want in a kind of VATS-style shooter is that you can't target different limbs, you can target the head or...
their feelings.
Shoot them in the heart. No, I was like...
the head, the guts, their heart.
Well, I was imagining, shoot them in the gun, shoot them in the hat, shoot them in the foot, you know, like things that are going
take their gun, take their hat, take their foot.
If you could shoot their helmet off to get to their head.
Or stuff like that, that's tactical. Yeah. Or but, aim at their grenades. And like in Fallout, that was always fun when somebody has a grenade on them or whatever, and you're like, ah-ha! Or, stuff like that.
So, yeah, there's not as much depth to that. Although there is like a mechanic where certain enemies take more damage versus certain types of ammunition. So you're kind of always trying to manage what weapons you have versus who you're fighting.
Yeah.
It's a bit of a paper, scissors, rock kind of deal, though. Okay. So it's not it's too always... hard. Yeah, it's always like this one enemy is weak to this one type of weapon. So, once again, there's not a lot of complexity there. Not that that's a bad thing or anything like that. Like I'm
much like how it being like Fallout 4, it's just a thing. Just not good or bad. Yeah, it's just thing.
I did enjoy it, I will say.
Yeah.
That's the combat,
a positive review.
Yeah.
That's
the combat,
good.
The combat was nice. It's like Fallout 4, more like Fallout New Vegas.
Yeah.
The world feels a bit underpopulated. I've not been to many towns yet.
Oh, Fallout 76.
Yeah. I've not been to many towns yet, but the experiences I have had are like... like, I often try to get into every place I can get.
Yeah, you play these games sensibly. You know that there is lots of loot, so you look for it. Yeah. Jackson blows into town like a hurricane and blows out also like a hurricane.
Blows into town, heads directly for whoever the quest giver is, skip all the dialogue till I get the quest, leave.
Look at the marker on the map. Have no idea what you're meant to be doing. What type of mission you're doing?
Who is this man? What am I here for?
Get frustrated. Call it bullshit that the game doesn't give you enough ammo when you have not been looting at all. So where is the game supposed to be giving you this ammo?
Shoot a dog 11 times. Be annoyed that it doesn't die. Shoot it again just in case.
Can't even kill the dog.
There's no quest marker. What am I supposed to be doing? Didn't realize that the quest giver told you what to do.
I don't even know where I am.
What game am I even playing? I didn't read the box.
Doesn't even have the controller in my hand.
I wish Jackson was the sort of person who picked up the controller and like a roulette wheel just spun until he got a game and was like, I guess I'm playing this.
Good.
That's pretty much how he buys things on the eShop for the Switch.
Yeah, that is true. There's a gamble to it.
Well, look, hey, there we go, I guess.
Jackson, what's your most favorite game you've played this year on the Nintendo
Switch? Turok 2 Seeds of Evil.
And why did you buy that?
Because I saw it.
Yeah, there we go.
Yes.
Had you read anything about it? You just vaguely remembered it from your childhood.
I played it as a kid once or twice.
And are you sure that it was Turok 2?
Could have been Turok 1 or 3.
Yeah, not sure.
I am Turok. So, I am Turok.
I am Turok. What a game.
Well, that seems fun. I am Turok.
It's good to know.
Give it the I and then a beat and then am Turok.
I am Turok.
Yeah, that's how he sounds.
There it is.
He collected enough gems to get an extra life and he's got to remind himself of who he is.
He's forgetting.
Every time he takes a gem, it damages his brain. So he hits 100. He knows he'll get that extra life, but he's got to remind us. He slowly deteriorates.
Oh, God.
I am Tura.
I am Tura.
Yeah, one day you'll hit it and he'll be like, I am. Oh, no.
Hey, Adam, I know there's no chance of Jackson seeing this, but have you seen Your Name?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay, no. This is almost a scene from that movie.
The main character looks up at the sky and screams, I am Turok.
No, it's like they look at their hand and they're like, I forget. They're like, I will never forget. I'll never forget. I'll never forget. Oh, no. What was I thinking about?
Do so they yeah, then Turok. Get eaten by a raptor with
and
a
then
gun?
They get eaten by a raptor and it turns out that they were Turok.
I was Turok. Anyway.
They had to call it Your Name so that people didn't get sued for calling it Turok 2.
So, yeah, underpopulated.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that game.
Yeah. So in my searching around the place, I found out that there was, in the first main starting town, there are like 5 people who have names and you can talk to.
Yeah.
And maybe another 5 people who have like worker.
Yeah.
God, that sort of a name. In total, there are like 10 people in the starting town. The town is way too big for 10 people. Mm. It's
like
just
classic kind of any kind of those kind of like game. Like Skyrim is the same problem.
Skyrim feels populated.
Well, I guess
to me.
Skyrim, not the cities. The cities are tiny.
Cities felt populated.
The cities is, in my experience with Skyrim, which is brief compared to both of yours, yeah. I've played about.
Screaming at the screen while Jackson controls one hand.
Well, I have one controller and you have the other. Yeah.
Yeah. But like the cities might be small in Skyrim, but there's a lot of people in it. Like, if you go to a bar and stuff like that, there's like 6 or 7 people in the room.
I suppose what I mean is that I always felt like Skyrim. Felt like it was saying that, yes, this is the amount of people and this is the amount of houses, but that's sort of just like, we want you to kind of, it's indicative of, this would be larger if we could. Do you know what I mean? It's like. Yeah.
What do you wish the game was saying instead?
I am doing it. But yeah, so like, even though, I guess you're right, even though it felt underpopulated, you still were like, oh, I get that the game's basically giving me a shorthand for, this is a big city, even if it never really felt like that, yeah.
Yeah, it's just a little disconcerting to see all those buildings and none of them, a lot of them aren't enterable and a bunch of them aren't populated. The thing Skyrim always did well is that every building in a city was enterable, and you knew that someone lived there.
Yeah, I suppose that the Skyrim issue was you're like, wow, this city has 30 people in it. That's like not even a small town. It's crazy that they're calling this a city, but you're
30
right.
people better than 10.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's also got a bit of it's an earlier Fallout and definitely an Oblivion issue.
Yeah.
Where as soon as you talk to someone, it zooms in on their face. And you get to just stare into their dead eyes as you have a conversation. And they're telling you about their decimated family, their how they're incredibly sick. Yeah. And the entire time you're like, don't look them in the eye. Don't look them in the eye.
Yeah.
Oh, God, I've looked them in the eye. The game has a lot of great opportunities for role-playing in those conversations, though, because I feel like the game gives you so many opportunities to be like, oh, do you have this much in intimidate, you have this much in lie.
Yeah.
Well, you can do this thing or this thing or this thing in a conversation.
That's cool.
And it does a lot of cool ones as well, where it's like, oh, do you have this much in guns or something like that?
I love spending all my skill points in guns.
So, yeah, you could be like, oh, I'm pretty handy with a gun or something like that. Even if you're not great at if you're not a great conversationalist,
yeah.
you still get some extra opportunities
there.
That's
cool.
It's, I would describe it as a very not serious game that you will probably get really invested in the combat despite its simplicity, and the comedy is there.
Yeah. What are the quests like? Are they typical like your Fallout 4, like go here, kill a thing, go here, get a thing?
So far they've been, pretty Fallout kind of typical,
okay.
A lot of them are go here, collect a thing. What I was hoping for is that in Fallout New Vegas, Obsidian did a great job with the story of the game.
Yeah.
And I can see the edges of that. There's still a lot for me left to explore, so I'm hoping it like properly jumps out at me.
Yeah.
Like, my one companion definitely has like a lot of depth to it. I can see that she is an iceberg that I am only viewing 10%
of. Cool.
And I'm really excited genuinely interested to explore the rest of it. And it does a really interesting thing with dialogue as well, where my instinct always in a dialogue tree is, and I'm sure Zamet is the same. I don't know about you, Dushar, and I know Jack's the opposite.
Yeah.
Where you're like, I need to exhaust every conversation option.
I usually go for like the what I think is the most like in character path. So like if my character, like even if I, unless I suspect that the character will give me something if I answer differently.
Yeah, yeah.
So like, say for instance, because Obsidian made this, right?
Yeah.
What other games have they made apart from New Vegas?
They've made they made Pillars of Eternity, I believe.
Okay, so not the, because when you said I know that Joel Zammit likes games that Obsidian made.
Yeah, he's a big fan.
I wasn't sure what type of game. Yeah, look, that's not for me. But let's say like Knights of the Old Republic, which is a game that has a lot of conversation items. I'll always be like, okay, my character's a Jedi, he's good.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This, unless I'm like, oh, actually, if I intimidate here,
maybe I'll get something.
I'll get a good thing.
Some good loot. Yeah, yeah.
And yeah, Jack, I know you're just like, give me the quest. But what this game does,
trying exit out of conversations.
Whenever they give you the option of leave conversation without getting a quest, I'll do it. Playing Skyrim, getting no quests, turning it off. I won.
The game still has dialogue trees, but they work a bit differently, where it's like, I don't know, maybe you'll have three main headings that's like, what's to do around here? Do you have a quest? I don't know. What's a quizmo or something like that?
I love asking, do you have a quest? P.S. What's a quizmo?
Hey, can you quickly tell me?
Hey, nice to meet you. Do you have any quest? What's a quizmo?
Big question. Number one question on my mind. What's a quizmo? Let's get to it.
I meant that it was like the three questions you get at the beginning. It's not like those are the orders of the things you say. But anyway... So,
who are you? What's your quest? What's a quizmo?
So, say you're like, do you have a quest for me? Yeah. And the person's like, oh, I need someone to do this.
Yeah.
And then you get like five dialogue options. You click one, and then if you click one, others will disappear.
Oh, that's cool.
So,
oh God, I would be so scared. What's a quizmo was going to disappear? I'd have to ask that first.
I need to know.
Oh, the top ones, don't worry. You'll still be able to go back and ask, what's a quizmo?
Thank Christ. What is a quizmo?
The topics are always available.
What is a quizmo?
A quizmo, it's a small animal that hates light. Any animal that's small and hates light, that's a quizmo. Cockroaches, quizmos.
Cockroaches hate light.
I thought you were going to say cockerels for something. Cockerel, that's a quizmo.
They don't hate light, but if you turn the light on, they
go away.
Yeah, they have a photosynthesis.
Vampires, that's a quizmo.
Yeah, no, it's going to be small.
Little vampire.
It's in
baby
in
vampire.
Baby vampire. Eat a baby.
It's actually in relation to a vampire. Is it small in relation to a vampire?
Fish. What about then deep, it's a quizmo. What about fish that are deep under the ground?
Is it small in relation to a vampire?
Yeah, that's a quizmo.
Deep underground? What is a fish doing in there? Get him back in the sea, idiot.
Someone buried it.
Presumably drowning.
What's up? So if you exhaust all your dialogue options, can like so you pick one and some are no longer available to you. If you go back for somebody like you or Zamet, if you go back to the start, can you answer them all again? Or is it pretty much...
If you go back to the start, you've got the topics again, but you can't...
That's
so
great.
So if you've spoken about one topic, unless the game thinks... Sometimes the game's like, you need a refresher on this information. You can go back into the topic, but it doesn't really let you pick different options.
That's really cool.
So, yeah.
This is like, we've already spoken about this, you idiot.
You why are you asking again?
Now.
Yeah.
The game
Quizmo with small, little,
in relation to a vampire. Come on.
The game kind of has been forcing me to roleplay my character, which I kind of appreciate.
Oh,
to
that's
be
great.
Honest. I really like that.
So, how many thumbs would you give it all out? All
oh, yeah. Off? First of all, quickly, is it good?
Yeah, is it good?
Yeah.
Is any of it bad?
It's,
List Whoa. The bad stuff.
Yeah, what?
All right, bad yeah,
what,
stuff.
What? What's bad?
What?
I wish in the same way that the conversation forces me to roleplay my character, I wish the combat forced me to care about the different locational types
fair.
Of damage.
Mm-hmm.
I wish they just straight up copied VATS.
Yeah.
Rather than have their kind of like in between, weird, not really VATS, kind of more like the Fallout 4 version. I want the game to stop and it's too fast paced for me.
Okay, fair
the
enough.
The game's too
enough.
Quick. And they talk a big deal about the companions. The companions are interesting, but they're not as useful in a fight as I wish they would be.
Yeah.
Although I, I guess I haven't invested. There's a lot of like,
oh,
because it's an open world game. I actually
maybe this
spec'd,
part's actually good.
I haven't specced much into the companion, so I couldn't 100% comment there.
So you're saying companion rude because unhelpful, but the companion saying you don't talk to me enough.
Basically, yeah.
Fair enough. Well, anything else bad?
Anything else bad? Look, the comedy is bad, but you won't. It's something I can ignore.
Comedy's bad here.
People are listening to this.
Well, you listen to us talk about Quizmos for like 5 minutes.
So how many thumbs?
How many thumbs? I would give it maybe 3 out of 5.
Oh, okay.
That's low.
I feel like Adam's just a more discerning with where he throws his thumbs.
5 out of 5 thumbs got to be really good.
Yeah,
that's true.
So you say.
A little peek-a-boo behind the curtain. The centennial thumb? What is it? The century thumb.
The centennial thumb is when we've done 100 years of recording. we've awarded a centennial thumb.
Yeah, we've awarded 100 years of thumb.
Yeah, that's the centennial
thumb. So yeah, if you're new to this episode, you're to SEOs are due to us, including BTS.
Yeah.
The things you keep saying. Yeah. Stay tuned. Subscribe. 100 years. Then see what game gets the centennial. Words. Anyway, a quick word for our sponsors before I, vibrate not into existence or something. I feel like I'm melting down.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
When everyone's on the same page, getting things done at work is easy. Make a bigger impact at work with Grammarly. Grammarly is your secure AI writing partner that allows your team to make their point and move faster. You can even save time by going from spending hours editing drafts to just seconds. Join the 96% of Grammarly users that say it helps them craft more impactful writing. Sign up and download Grammarly for free at grammarly.com/podcast. That's grammarly.com/podcast. Easier said, done.
Thank you for those kind words, sponsors. Jackson, what have you been playing?
I've been playing a game called Dark Devotion on the Switch,
sounds like Blasphemous. Is it Blasphemous?
It looks like Blasphemous. Ah. It looks like, when I first saw it, I was like, is this one of those games that is trying, you know, like when, what's the name of that studio that like is like, oh, Transformers came out? What about Transmorphers?
Asylum.
Yeah. I kind of thought it was going to be like that for Blasphemous. Like Blasphemous had come out and they were like, oh, what if we make, because the plot is like, oh, there's a temple and Templars and we've used that kind of like plague doctor, you know, Knights Templar aesthetic, and it's like a pixelated game and you explore dungeons.
I'm going to stop you there for one second. Adam, have you heard Jackson talk about Blasphemous and his experience with Blasphemous?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay, cool. I suspect there is one difference in this game that has made you love this game and hate Blasphemous.
What is it?
Is it that the platforming part is just way less detailed and therefore more defined on where you can land?
It feels weirdly more... Well, no, because there's not really platforming. There's no jumping or anything.
Oh, okay, so they took out the jumps.
Yeah, it kind of feels more...
If there's no jumping, how is there any platforming?
There's no platforming. Well, you can do a kind of... Okay, this is the amount of platforming there is in the game. The game is almost Dark Souls-esque in that you just have like an attack, but then you have like a block and a dodge backwards and a dodge forwards.
Did you accidentally play Nidhogg?
Imagine I was playing it. Sort of like Blasphemous a little bit. So that's all you have. But that roll forward, that dodge forward, sometimes you can use to access other platforms.
Sometimes.
Because often there's quite a few gaps between them that it's just like, oh, I reckon I can make a roll to that and then there'll be a chest and you can open it. I think what the difference here is that weirdly, it's not more polished. I was about to say it's more polished. That's not true. It's not more polished. It's not better necessarily. It's just more like the kind of game I want to play, I think. So it's not a Metroidvario. Looks as though it's going to be a Metroidvario being might call a Metroidvania.
But it's can I guess?
Yes,
can
please.
I guess? Is it, what's the Metro? What's that? What's that part of? Metroid.
Metroid? What are you trying to say?
No. What's the Metro in Metroidvania?
Metroid. Is Metroidvania.
Wait. give me the word again.
he said Metroid Vario.
Yeah. Metroid Vario. So the Vario is Wario.
Yes.
The Ario is Wario. Yeah. So you got
sorry,
one...
the Ario.
So
yeah.
Metroid is Metroid. Ario is Wario. What's the verb?
The verb? What?
The verb stands for Vania, which is short for Castlevania or Castlevania.
Yeah. See.
So,
continue.
Adam. No, Adam. Metroidvania is typically Metroid and Castlevania's combined. Yeah. So a platform. But actually. Yeah. Wario Land 3 is also that, so Metroid Vario.
So, wait, what have you taken out?
Nothing. I've just added Wario.
All right, cool.
So you took out Ania and with Ario.
Yeah.
All right.
I'm glad we've reached this accord.
Okay, look, you got Metroid. You got Super Metroid. You've got Castlevania Symphony of the Night.
Yeah.
And then you've got Wario Land 3.
Uh-huh.
The three big games that combine to make the Metroid Varios we know and love.
Okay.
So Dark Devotion isn't a Metroid Mario. It's, again, more like a Dark Souls. So you have like a central hub. You start off as like you've got, you're this Knight Templar lady. You've got a big sword and a big shield. You fight a boss, but the boss kills you. You fall into this place they call like the Filth Blood Cavern. And it's full of all these people who are like, oh, the big temple, we hate it. Now we're sick. Oh, you're like just like a piece of shit garbage warrior. All you have is your fists. They're like, go into the dungeons and get loot and maybe you can escape this hellhole. And so the game basically consists of, there are like, you get your central hub, and from your central hub, there are sort of worlds you can access.
Yep.
Although the worlds are connected to each other, but that's just like your way in. You explore those areas, you fight enemies, you gather, not really loot. So the way it works is that, so you kill an enemy will drop a sword. You pick up that sword, and then you'll get a little thing that's like, oh, now it's available at the forge. And the forge is basically where you go to kit up before you go into the dungeon. So you fight, you die, you spawn back in the Filth Blood Cavern, but you've accessed all these new weapons by fighting through the dungeon so you can kit yourself out for your next sort of like expedition.
This legitimately just sounds like a story version of Nidhogg.
Yeah, it in many ways is. Like, but that's not a bad thing. The combat in this is massively satisfying. There's heaps of bosses. Like, I've encountered four.
Are any of them a big worm that eats you?
No, I wish. So far, the bosses have been a great fight. So it's like the first boss I fought, he's called the Butcher. And I just found this by exploring. And he's chained
exploring
up.
Exploring without jumping.
Yes, without jumping. Well, you can, there's still.
So you can go left or right.
Yeah. And how climb ladders. Oh, okay. Yeah, and fall down holes.
Presumably stairs at some point?
No, stairs, just all ladders.
Right. Yeah, that would require some game design.
So you this boss, right, I go in and I'm and it's just like the Butcher.
Blasphemous has stairs, though.
Yeah. If you're looking for a game with stairs. It's blasphemous.
Oh, no,
for
don't
you.
Worry. I'm all stared up.
Minecraft, build your own stairs.
Yeah, do what you want.
That's right. I forgot.
But there's this boss, and he's called
the
Butcher, and he's got one hand like shackled to the roof. And so the fight is like, get near him, attack him, roll back so that he can't hit you. But then halfway through, he just tears his arm off and then comes to you. And I was like, oh no, the game has changed. And a lot of the bosses like that, they've always got like a second part that you're not expecting. The boss fight's really satisfying.
Phase in a boss fight.
I know. Truly amazing.
Did
a boss, well, when your health gets to a certain point, they change what they're doing.
But Adam, the change is unique, which Adam, I like.
You wouldn't read about it.
No. My lord.
This game sounds fun. I'll leave you alone. Keep talking.
It's worth a play. There's so many weapons and so many different kind of like...
Gun?
No, no gun, but bow. And
that
so
old gun.
My first, I fought the Butcher and he
really
left...
old gun. Yeah. Oldest gun.
Oldest gun is rock you throw.
Rock.
Rock
is always rock.
No, if you throw rock, rock gun.
So good to imagine like somebody throwing a rock with a bullet, like a gun sound.
Bang. Oldest gun is spear you throw.
rock before spear.
No. Spear must be made. Gun is made.
You can make rock sharp.
No.
Yes.
Anyway, so... Defeat the Butcher.
Can you get rocks?
No. You can get throwing knives. You defeat the Butcher and he drops like a long, like his weapon, which is like, I don't know what you call it, like a cudgel. It's like long stick with spiky, jagged thing on the end. Mm-hmm. And I use that for ages. And then I found somebody dropped a book and I was like, what's this book? I don't understand this, but I could use it. I figured out that it's like magic. So you use your faith, which is, I guess, your mana, and you fire five axes. And so you can, I don't know, there's just like lots of different kits that's you cool. can use. I've never used the bow. I really should.
It's gone.
Yeah, but I've never used it. It has kind of like a couple of different leveling up systems. So you can find, it's real basic, you can find runes that'll make your like stamina higher or your faith higher. You have to find one that makes my health higher. I don't know if that's just not an option or if I'm just unlucky.
Dumb?
Yeah, possibly. And then you can also gather like just XP from enemies and you can use that to upgrade things. So, and you can only have... There's like five tiers and you can only have one from each tier. So you can kind of kit yourself out there again. I have a speed one. Everywhere I walk, I lay fire. That's about it. It's the only real complaint I have with it is that you look really goofy when you climb a ladder. And there's like areas where there'll be like a vent and it'll kind of float you up and you look real bad. Whoever did the sprite design on that, atrocious. And it's way too dark. There are pit traps everywhere, and it's an instant kill, and you just can't see them.
What's a respawn area situation like?
So I kind of like this. So you respawn back in the Filthblood Cavern every time you die.
You said that
but
at the start,
there are throughout the maps, there are various areas that you can activate, and then there's like a little portal.
Bonfire.
that you can go to, but... I like that because...
Unique.
So what I really like about that is that they're often before bosses. And the bosses are really hard, but satisfying. But it kind of works because there are also entrances to the various levels. What you can do, and what I do, I've found myself doing, is you go to try and fight the boss. You're like, well, I can't do that. But I've always got that respawn or that portal to go in and fight the boss. So I'll just go and like level up, find weapons, whatever, and then come back here and attack the boss. So that's... I don't know. But yeah, look, it's like nothing new, but... It's just a lot of fun to play. It's engaging, you know? It's deep. Again, like I said, nothing new, but it's satisfying to play. And there are so many bosses. I've found four of, I think, a possible 16 to 20.
Whoa.
And every boss is like a very unique fight, equally difficult. There's like a lot of pattern recognition, but also like a little bit of randomness, which is what you always want.
Yeah, you
want
to be on your toes.
Yeah, real satisfying game. I'm probably going to keep playing it off and on. I'll probably give it maybe like a... 3.5 thumbs, something like that.
Oh, yeah. 3.5 thumbs. Are we being very sensible this episode?
Yeah. Well, it's not quite a 5-thumb game because clearly if they'd had a bigger budget, it could have been better.
If they decided to make a video game before they were like, hey, let's steal Blasphemous.
It actually plays, other than theming, very little like Blasphemous. And somehow the combat is more satisfying and not as clunky. Blasphemous combat felt very much like a 2D Dark Souls where like it's a lot of... rolling and being stressed. This you kind of feel quick, and maybe this is more like Bloodborne. I don't know. I've never played it. 4 thumbs.
Hell yeah. Speaking of stressful games, I've been playing Thumper, a game suggested by my good friend Jackson
Bailey.
What
a game. Wow.
It's a rhythm-based game. It's described, it's literally description is just rhythm violence.
It's so good.
You play as a bug who is... in space. Adam, have you ever seen what a Tool album cover looks like?
I have.
Yeah.
I used to be massive into Quake. Of course I've seen a Tool cover.
Quake, the soundtrack was designed by Nine Inch Nails. Good try.
Oh, shy.
You can say shit, that's fine.
Oh, because Jackson said it earlier.
Shit's fine.
You can pop
I
a
can
shit.
Mentally forget now where Jackson said it, because at the end of it, I was going to be like, oh, Jackson said it. I didn't want to break the flow, but I remember exactly where it was.
Yeah, you can say shit, and we can still be like, this isn't explicit.
Yeah.
If you're a parent listening to this, and you're like, oh, they're talking about BTS. Yes, and SEOs. This is safe to listen to. God, I hope they don't say shit. At this point, you've probably stopped listening.
Yeah, that was their limit.
Yeah, shit.
Eight shits and I'm out.
Anyway, Thumper, you're a bug. You're flying through a Tool album cover. The music kind of sounds like the Quake soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's very like rhythmic, industrial. And basically all it is like... there's like 10 worlds or something. Each world, they introduce a unique thing. It's rhythm-based in the sense that you're on a track going at speed and you need to press A in certain points to like activate like a pad on the track,
basically.
And then there's ones that if you hold down A, you activate like bars that are across the track. And there's also corners, which you have to like slide into. Otherwise you explode.
Oh, wait. I know Thumper. You play the little beetle and it's like coming at you or whatever. Yeah, I know this game.
It's an old game.
Yeah.
It came out in like 2017 or something, but we've been playing it on Switch and
Wow. It is...
I've heard, yeah, the soundtrack is like what happens to your heart.
After yeah, I was going to say, it does feel like your heartbeat syncs up, but that's bad because your heartbeat shouldn't be going boom, 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 boom.
So rhythm games usually aren't my jam, but the aesthetic of this one kind of sucked me in because it's like psychedelic space, basically. Mm, yeah.
The moment I started playing it, I was like, this is a game for Joel Dusher. It's upsetting. Yeah. I don't know what about it is upsetting. It feels like you're watching, feels like if you could see interdimensional gore, that's what this game is.
Yeah, it's called Rhythm Violence. There's no blood or anything, but it's just like,
oh, and occasionally a level ends and it's like 16 kills, and I don't know what that means.
You know you can play that game in VR?
Oh, no.
I would literally throw up.
So, yeah, it's
I'd take off the headset and I'd have been crying underneath.
Just crying blood. Yeah. I did it. I beat level one. Yeah, it's just chaotic. And, like, if you miss something, especially if you miss a corner, the beetle kind of, like, vibrate, like, it looks like, yeah, like a car kind of spinning out. But you feel like you're in a car accident.
Oh, yeah.
It's just so... You make one mistake. So in each level, you can make like two mistakes before you die. Mm. But like, you make one mistake and it's just so hard to get back into the rhythm of things.
Oh,
you might just...
Yeah.
It feels very much like if you make one mistake, it's like you're cycling down a massive slope and accidentally you put your foot down and you knock one of the pedals off and you're like, oh no, I gotta keep on the bike. I could crash in any second.
There's boss fights, which is pretty much just like a normal level, except one of the pads shoots like an energy beam. The bosses are usually just giant floating heads.
Yeah.
Where the track comes out of their mouth.
Ah, Star Fox style.
Yeah. Star Fox style.
In many ways, it's a Star Fox sequel.
There's just so
it's
much
Star
going
Fox's
on.
Star Fox's nightmares. Yeah.
When Andross goes to sleep, he dreams of this. I think that's the boss's name in Star Fox.
It is. Yeah.
I had to dig deep to remember that one.
Well done.
Mm. Yeah, good on you.
Yeah. I also quite like with Thumper that often you get like a rank and you get like sort of score multipliers at the end of every level, but they're so hard to figure out what they mean. So like perfect turns. I guess I can figure out perfect turns.
Perfect turn, I think you have to.
It's with one of those things on the side.
Hit into a corner, but I think you have to do it because you can hold down if there's no obstacles between you and the next corner, if you hold down the turn early, it's fine because you just need to hit the pad with like your tail basically.
Mm.
So I think perfect turn is when you activate it in the right spot,
which
rhythmically.
Which is so risky.
Yeah. Oh, in later levels you have to because it's like turn, which is the most satisfying thing to do.
Oh, roll.
Because you're just going like left, right, but in time with like industrial music.
Did you ever play, what was it called? It was like a Nintendo DS game, the Rhythm Bandits or whatever. Were you like three guys?
Rhythm Heaven?
No, I know the one you mean.
Yeah. I think, though, that Rhythm Heaven actually was like a prequel to this game.
Yeah, possibly.
Was Rhythm Heaven like Japanese language only game?
Maybe. I know the characters you mean because we're going to put them in. Those rumors are in
Elite
Smash.
Beat something?
Elite Beat Agents.
Yeah, Elite Beat Agents. Yeah.
Did you ever play that?
No.
No? Oh, okay. I was just going to ask you how it compares to that game because that's like the last big rhythm game I played.
I can compare it to what other rhythm games? Guitar Hero. Imagine if instead of people in a video game booing you because you're bad at playing Knights of Cydonia by Muse at a house party in a video game, instead your beetle, like the crowd is just a big mouth that will eat you after you explode.
I feel like if you wanted to get the feeling of playing Thumper, you get in your car and you get a brick and you move into oncoming traffic and you place a brick down on the accelerator and then you have to avoid every car with no chance of stopping ever.
You get three chances.
Not two.
Two. That's what,
sorry, two chances.
That's what Thumper feels
like. It's
like
real life. You get two chances.
Oh, well, again, in Thumper, there's certain obstacles, though, if you hit, it's an instant...
You get your shield back, basically. Oh, and certain obstacles kill you. Yeah.
Certain obstacles just kill you in one hit. Yeah. So there's like later on in the game, so you're on one track, but later on in the game, it introduces like two tracks. So you have to.
And
tracks just end. So if you're on that track, you don't get a second chance.
I'm on World 5, and it introduces sections where you have to hit every pad or a big laser destroys you. It's very frightening.
Yeah, I just finished a world where there's like giant spike pits that you have to jump over, and if you don't, good luck.
I also quite like with Thumper that it never gives you a chance to recover. So if you lose one of your you lose one of your lives, you can't take a breather. Immediately you've got to be like on your A game, like instantly, so that you can hit the next pad and the next corner. And you just never get a chance.
That always gets me with rhythm games. Oh. I'd mess up once and I'd be done.
Oh, yeah. It's, that's same. It's bad. Yeah, absolutely.
Maybe rhythm games are good after playing this. Or maybe this is the only good rhythm game. It's hard to say.
I forget that I like rhythm games. And I forgot that I did until I started playing.
We've mentioned this before, but rhythm games definitely hit the ape part of your brain.
Oh, absolutely. Mm. Ape is full and hot and ready to go.
Yeah.
Did you ever play Audio Surf? Audio Surf is literally Thumper, but like you can use your own tracks. Yeah, it's like an early version of it.
I remember that.
Vib Ribbon. Ooh. Vib Ribbon was a game for the PlayStation 1 where you would put in your own CD and on a track that a rat, like a line that a rabbit was walking along, it would come up to the rhythm, like
I've
an X, triangle, circle, square, and you had to do that with your...
I've heard of this game.
Yeah, I mean, that was very intense.
Basically, rhythm games, five thumbs.
Absolutely. And Thumper?
Five thumbs.
Yeah, it's a five thumb.
It's just like, it's a game that, like, it's not a perfect game, but it nails what it's trying to do perfectly.
Yeah.
It's like $20, I think, Australian. And if you just want, like, a pick up and play, or if you just like feeling stressed.
Yeah.
Or, like, stress relief if you're stressed about real life and you want to be just
fake stress.
Overwhelmed by something.
Yeah.
I'd suggest that. It kind of hits into the same kind of stress as like Ape Out or Hotline Miami, where you're like one mistake and things go very bad.
Absolutely.
Oh, gosh.
Yeah. But it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah. And if you're listening to Tool and you're like, well, I like their album cover. Look, Tool, they're no good. This game, it's better. So just play that.
I would love to see Joel Zammert playing this game because the Cadence of Hyrule, a game Joel Zammert played, he listened not to the music of the game, but to bluegrass. So it'd be amazing to see him play Thumper to bluegrass without any of the music.
I have played this without music one. In the first world, it's not too bad.
Yeah.
But I picked
down
it up.
Down the track, you just.
Yeah, I picked it up like last time and I was like, I can't really play it with sound at the moment.
Yeah.
And I tried to play it and I was just like, no.
Yeah.
It's not
so
happening.
You need to be listening to.
Yeah. If you can actually do it to the rhythm of the music, then it becomes easier.
Yeah.
But yeah, man.
And it's really satisfying as well because, yeah, it's like industrial music. It's good.
Yeah, it's great.
The music's quite a thumper.
Well, that brings today's episode total to 5, 6, 7, 8, 8.5.
Yeah, 8.5.
9, 10, 11, 12. 13 thumbs.
13 thumbs. Plus all the other thumbs we gave away. So 25 thumbs.
Yeah. Let's round that out to an even 30.
Yeah.
Oh, let's round that up to 50.
Yeah.
Perfect. 50. Do you know how often episodes of last week's episode was a 50 thumber?
Let's round it up to 100.
Oh, 100 thumbs. Let's add this episode onto last episode.
Well, yeah, because the 2x multiplier. If 2 episodes in a row get 50 thumbs, then the next.
Ba-ding! Multi-ball.
Multi-ball. Multi-thumb.
We're going to release 2 episodes next week, and you're going to have to balance between them. Don't lose any of them. No, you're getting one.
Yeah, that wasn't a promise. One thumb cramps every week forever.
If next week's episode is also 50 thumber, you have to listen to all 3 at the same time.
There's actually secret messages.
Yeah.
The messages are... Because that's what we sound like over the top of each
Absolutely.
Other.
Absolutely. Ape noises.
And on that note, I've been Joel.
I've been Jackson.
I've been Adam.
Thumb.
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 Thanks for listening. If you want to watch just how competent or incompetent we are at video games, head on over to twitch.tv/sanspantsradio, where you'll see us and other members of the Sanspants Network live stream some of our favorite video games.
Protect your dream home with American Family Insurance. And you can weather any storm. You'll also save up to 25% by bundling home, auto, and life. American Family Insurance. Get a quote. Find an agent at amfam.com.
Products not available in every state. Discounts may not apply to all coverages on an auto or home policy. Discounts do not apply to life insurance policies. Visit amfam.com to learn how discounts may apply to you. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating companies, American Family Life Insurance Company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.